The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
The Social Democrats are due to put a motion down in respect of improving legislation or strengthening legislation in respect of domestic, or rather in respect of sexual and gender-based violence. It's also, of course, been a busy recent period for the Social Democrats with the departure, the announced departure of former leaders Catherine Murphy and Roisin Shortall, and also interesting coverage in respect of the party in the papers this morning. We're joined by the leader of the Social Democrats, Holly Cairns. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
Holly, the motion that you're putting down this week is, it aims to achieve what?
Basically, we know there's kind of a lot of issues around domestic and gender-based violence. Specifically, our motion is in relation to regulations, things that can be done immediately. Because I suppose, Anton, just to maybe zoom out before I go into the detail of the motion, we know that Ireland has a violence against women problem, and that Ireland has always had that problem. Even today, there are two cases of sexual violence on the front page of our papers, one historical one concerning extremely harrowing revelations about the FAI in the 1990s, and another concerning further disturbing allegations about members of the Defence Forces. And this isn't unusual. Every day, in every home in the country and on the streets and all of these things, women are being assaulted and harassed and brutalised, and it's broadly acknowledged as an epidemic. And at every step, I think, of the state's history, it's been an epidemic. It's very structural. And then every few years, we kind of have an epiphany where we say, oh God, that was horrible. You know, how was that allowed to happen? It can never be allowed to happen again. But it does always happen again, because we haven't taken the steps as a country to ensure that it doesn't. And it's then, like, thanks to the remarkable bravery of people like Blanid Rally and Natasha O'Brien, that it's to the fore of the kind of national debate, and I think really to people's minds at the moment.
Holly, just before we get to the regulatory changes that you are suggesting, in respect of that piece that you mentioned with the FAI, we can't name any of the individuals involved, but can you give me your reaction to what you read? Because it is an extraordinarily detailed and in-depth and revelatory piece.
I mean, it's shameful. And I think one of the really harrowing things about it is how much the women felt they were alone in experiencing it. And then actually to realise that there were so many of them experiencing it. And that's what we see all the time with sexual abuse. It's that it isolates people. It makes them feel alone and like they can't speak out. And it transpires that it's actually, you know, happening across an organisation. That's something we see time and time again. And I think it stands out kind of as well, just how brave it is for those women to come forward, because we know it's not an easy thing to do. But I think the FAI has a lot of questions to answer about, you know, what was going on in those years, because, I mean, we know there'll be an RT Investigates this evening that explains the situation a bit more. But I think from what we can see in the papers today, it's safe to say that it is harrowing.
So what then can you do? Because issues like this often live in darkness. Is it possible to regulate them away?
Well, first of all, there's so many things that need to be addressed, Anton. I just want to touch on some of these bigger ones that, you know, just can't go unmentioned. As you know, we know our justice system isn't really built to protect victims of crime. In fact, it often seems to compound trauma. And I think Natasha O'Brien has done an amazing job of highlighting how the system does that. So we need to see reform of our sentencing guidelines. We've been waiting for an updated version of them. And the thing is that victims of sexual assault are well aware of their likelihood of getting justice. It's astronomically low. And that's reflected in the fact that only about 5% of people who experience sexual violence as an adult actually even report it. And this is without mentioning some of the outrageous practices we see in courts, like people's underwear being passed around, their counselling notes being used. You'd swear the victims were on trial. Then we have, in relation to domestic violence, Anton, only last month Women's Aid revealed that had received more than 40,000 disclosures of abuse against women and children in 2023. That's the highest number in 50 years. And we know that the vast majority of resolved murder cases of women were women who were killed by their partners, or men known to them. In half their cases, it was a current or former partner. And the reality is, Anton, you can't leave a violent household if you have nowhere to go. And Ireland provides a fraction of the recommended bare minimum refuge spaces. There's about 9 counties with none. I won't go into the domestic violence leave stuff because I know we have a limited period of time. But I suppose the thing is that it's not easy to tackle domestic and gender-based violence. All of these things need to be urgently addressed, and it's high time that these things happen quickly.
And addressing the kind of culture. Why do you think it hasn't happened? Is it that there is a lack of understanding of how significant the problem is, or a wariness of addressing it?
I wish I knew. I find it despair, to be honest. Like, addressing the cultural and societal issues is complex, but it can be done. And it doesn't seem like there's enough urgency in relation to that. But then, Anton, the thing that baffles me even more is there are things that can be addressed more quickly. And that is specifically what our PMB is calling on the government to do on Wednesday. So that is regulations in different sectors. We know no sector is immune to this, be it in sports, in the defence forces, in almost every facet of society, it is relevant. And there are overarching bodies that can regulate to ensure people's safeties in some scenarios. So this week, one of the other harrowing stories that we learned about was that a Dublin taxi driver convicted of raping two young women actually had previous convictions for serial sexual offences. So why did he have a taxi licence? Why didn't the regulator act? One of his victims obviously said that she thought she was taking the safe option. You know, that's what people are told to do. Take a taxi. Don't walk home alone at night. In fact, we hear more about women being told not to walk home at night than we hear about men being told not to rape and assault women who are walking home at night. And the thought that she could be getting, the two women could be getting into a taxi with a convicted sexual offender, is the stuff of nightmares. And I approached this with the Taoiseach leaders' questions this week, and the apparent lack of action or interest in this case and how this was allowed to happen is very worrying, I have to say, because there is, like, every 5 years a taxi driver has to get their license through the NTA and Gardaí. So how does this man have a license? Then there are, you know, we know the
so,
16...
Sorry to cut across you, Holly, but just to understand it. So in essence then, are you seeking, if you remember what happened with child protection guidelines when the spate of child abuse revelations came out, that there was guidelines changed so that organisations wouldn't put children in positions where they might be at risk. Is it an equivalent now for gender violence that you want it to be that the Defence Forces, sporting organisations, the taxi regulator look to see, is this a person who might put women at risk and therefore not allow them to get a position?
Absolutely, because what we hear the government talking about is that they're taking a zero tolerance approach. And in my opinion, a taxi driver who's a convicted sex offender being allowed to pick up women on their own is not a zero tolerance approach. And then we've got issues in the defence forces where we know that 68 members have been either convicted of crimes or before the courts. And the government's approach is, bizarrely, that they want to appoint a senior counsel to tell us the defence forces personnel who are convicted of serious crimes like sex offences shouldn't be serving. We have professional bodies for dentists and counsellors that have been calling out for regulations and increased powers for years. And literally, Anton, the government has either ignored them, stonewalled them, or dithered and delayed. So now we have a situation where we know that there was a practicing dentist with convictions for sexual offences, and the regulatory body couldn't do anything about it. We raised that in our last PMB. The government have done nothing since. And then in terms of councillors, we know that it's a wild west. There is no regulations. So I understand that it's difficult to tackle this entire issue as a whole, but the government can't come and say they're taking a zero tolerance approach when there's things they could do quickly and relatively easily that they have not done and they're not acting on. So that is specifically what our PMB is calling for. We're calling for an update as well, Anton, on the sentencing guidelines. We're looking for clarity on when the report on personnel charge or convicted in the Defence Force will be completed, a review of the taxi regulations, including the power of An Garda Síochána to revoke or suspend those licences. We're looking for an update to the Dentist Act to introduce regulations for counselling and psychotherapy services, an increase of refuge spaces, and to explain how a failure by government to review, introduce or update these regulations over so many years,
and that's going
is
to be,
apparently evidence of zero tolerance.
That private member's motion is going to be before the Dáil on Wednesday, as I understand it. Before we finish up, it would be remiss of me not to put to you the extensive coverage that there is in relation to your party in the Sunday Times, where legal experts are looking at non-disclosure agreements that are given to party members, which they say have a chilling effect because they are so broad in their remit. It seems ironic for you to be praising people for their willingness to speak up while at the same time asking your own party members to sign NDAs.
No, Anton, I mean, the reason that, you know, obviously, you know, in any organisation now, GDPR is a really serious issue. And then when, you know, in a in a branch, when you have people coming forward, maybe for section for elections and all that stuff, a lot of the time, maybe branch officers would have access to people's very personal or private information. And as a party, we take that really seriously, our responsibility and obligation to respect people's personal private information. And so producing agreements was something a previous staff member had brought in to try and really ensure that we were respecting people's GDPR rights and all of that stuff.
But just to be clear, the GDPR guidelines and legislation intrinsically itself enforces people's rights. It is the legislation under which people can be prosecuted for a breach of those rights. Why do you need the belt and braces of a wide-ranging NGO, that NDA, that acts as a chilling a gag order, effectively?
Honestly, the reason for the agreements is to make sure that people know they have to respect people's privacy when they're in those positions and branches. And since I think it's since April or May, the actual agreement itself has been under review because we had feedback that maybe it is too much, and that's absolutely fine. We're happy to change it. But Anton, to be clear, our members are allowed to speak openly about anything. We have no non-disclosure agreements for random members. This was particularly in relation to branch officers who are dealing with people's personal and private information. And people do regularly speak publicly and speak to the media who are members of the party. That's not what this is at all. And like I said, it is something that's been under review since a new person has gone into that position. But we have no desire to gag anybody. We just want to make sure that we're respecting people's private information, and that's simply all that it is.
Holly Kearns, thank you very much. That is the Social Democrats leader, Holly Kearns.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.